I did a bad thing by just giving $10 to Jeff Bezos.
I don't know what you call someone who believes in karma.
Negative infinity plus positive infinity. What even is that?
They're paying to license their lifestyle to their own conscience.
Philosophers.
Philosophers.
So, David, what are we talking about today?
I have a topic. The title of the topic is transactional morality.
Interesting.
Which can mean some different things in different contexts, I think.
Well, what did you mean when you wrote it?
I don't remember, but...
What are some things that it means then, so we can talk about it?
I think the most obvious thing that it means to people is like... I don't know if moral licensing is the right term. I've heard that term before, but that might mean something completely different. Anyway, when I hear that, it's something like the proverb, I guess, or maybe that's not even the right word.
The adage, maybe,
that gets told is like, I've done my good deed for the day, right?
Mm.
So like, you do something, now you have done your good deed to society, and you can neglect your other moral responsibilities now, or at least one other one, right? You transact with your good deeds.
Yeah. I think there's like obviously one philosophy that like takes this axiomatically, and that's like utilitarianism. Mm-hmm.
kind of.
You're right, not exactly.
It writes at large.
Yeah, well, and also it's
like society's decisions can be made transactionally like this, so long as it's better, like whatever transaction causes the most good, right?
Well, and it's not even the transaction necessarily, because it's all prior to the transaction. It's like it's like moral speculating almost, right? You know, we do some moral speculation and then take whatever has the most desirable outcome on the moral spreadsheet, and then we do that thing,
right?
I think the common example of like why this is a bad thing is like, I remember being in college, philosophy 101, you know, becoming an expert in philosophy, and it was discussed in terms of like, you have five sick people in a hospital, each needing an organ, and then one person walks in.
Each needing separate organs is an important thing.
Yes. Yeah. One guy needs a heart. The two of them need one lung each, whatever. Right. And then a healthy person walks into the hospital who has like a foot injury, and
they just rip him apart for his organs. Yeah. to give to the other patients. And it's like, five lives saved at the cost of one. Utilitarian approved. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, if the hospital is turning over how many sick people go in versus how many healthy people go out, that is an optimal strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's horrifying to most people, as it should be.
Right.
Because we always imagine ourselves being the guy getting ripped apart.
Right. Yeah, that's the purpose of that illustration.
Yep. So it's not exactly like what you were saying where you can...
Right, it's society making the transactions, not individuals.
Right. And even then, it's like I said, it's all preemptive. I think this isn't assuming that the more expanded form of that would be the hospital does that if they're in the negative on their moral bank account. Mm-hmm. And they need more moral credit score points.
Right.
But I guess that's more along the lines of what we're talking about, is something similar to like a social credit score, but for morality.
Mm-hmm.
Which social credit scores kind of do that. Although it's usually an enforced morality or a moral standard, right? Mm-hmm. Like if it's considered bad to talk negatively about the state, you will, if it's asserted as a moral wrong or a vice, then we should deduct your social credit score for that. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas if you talk positively about people or you bring general happiness to people, that gets you moral good boy points.
Right. Well, and the other important thing about a moral credit score is that, like a regular credit score, it's public information. Anyone can see your social credit score and then decide how they want to interact with you based on that.
Right. So maybe we talk about transactional morality from that perspective. Like, I think there's two perspectives you can look at it. One is, as an individual, like, should you, like... Assume you're the only person, or maybe you're just one of people in adopting a bunch of different moral systems, and you are operating on a transactional morality, right? Now there's limitations to this because morality kind of only matters when there's more than one person, right? But we all have different means by which we arrive at a moral system, but we still are able to kind of work together, right? For example, I may not derive my morality from a god, but I can arrive at similar conclusions as someone who does, and we can cooperate. And I think, but then beyond that, assume everyone has transactional morality. What kind of world are you going to see, right? That's the other edge case. I think most people try to, or maybe not all, but the society itself dominates with that kind of morality. So maybe we start with the personal because it's a bit easier.
Sure.
All right. Speaking of religious things, there are this kind of happens already. There is examples of things like this. Maybe I can think. So indulgences is an example.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's literally a transaction because you're buying morality. But in order for you to transact morally like that, you have to both treat, I think, your morality as transactable in addition to other transactional systems like monetary systems.
Mm-hmm.
So you could,
I guess that goes for any religion that involves like a physical sacrifice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess maybe not, because I'm sure different religions have all kinds of different rules for and meanings of what a sacrifice is for. But
right,
the classic example is atoning for sins, right? So yep. Me, a goat farmer, will sacrifice my goat because I did a wrong thing. So I'm going to appease the gods by destroying something that I care about, that I value.
Right. And then I think there might be even a taxonomy of transactional moralities where one, it's just, it is transactional in the way that in order to absolve yourself of doing the bad things that you do, you need to do other things to get you good boy points back. But the,
right.
But the values of which are not really that important as much. It's just about doing them. Right. Mm-hmm. So for example, I think there are some religious systems where they just make a monthly sacrifice because you're just going to be morally bad because that's just how you are. Sacrificing a goat once a month is good enough for most anything that you would do. We're not going to get down and do moral accounting and figure out exactly how much that goat needs to weigh to account for what you did this month, right? But just doing the sacrifice is maybe even more ritualistic to remind you that you did bad things and that's why you're making sacrifices, mm-hmm. right? But others, I think you could imagine a moral system where you assign a moral numeric value or a numeric value to all actions.
I mean, this is kind of what the system of karma is.
True.
I don't know that people who believe in karma, I don't know what you call someone who believes in karma. I don't know that they think about it in numeric terms, but it basically functions that way, right?
Yeah, proto-numeric terms where like we can lump heaps versus handfuls, right? There's
quantities of some sort. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do good, this gets you good boy points, good things will happen to you as a result, so they believe, and the reverse,
right? And you want good things coming your way, so you want to be like, that's an interesting one too, because the moral capital is going to be spent by usually the universe or whatever, mm-hmm. as they usually would say. And it's going to be dispersed at random intervals that you have no control over, but or as situations arise, right? And so it behooves you to always be adding more moral good boy points so that you get more out.
Right.
Right.
You're being selfishly good.
Selfishly good. Yeah. Who, Immanuel Kant is turning in his urn over that one. We need to talk about him at some point. This is a philosophy podcast. We mention Kant all the time, but
I don't know that we mention him that much, but a few times.
We've mentioned him a few times. And we've not actually talked about him, but I feel like he's a very important figure in philosophy to discuss.
That's true.
So let's start with the basic form of this, which is just the amounts don't matter, but for every bad thing you do, you should try to do at least one good thing, even if it's not remotely the same. You hit a guy with your car, but you also bought your mom flowers, so you're kind of in the clear, right? I think the general idea of try to do as much or more good than bad is in general a good idea.
Sure.
In the abstract like that, especially.
I think that's how a lot of people just think about it,
mm-hmm.
really. Which is why this is an interesting topic because I think people really, really do behave this way.
Yeah, intuitively we do. And I think you see it come out in two primary scenarios. One is the, like you said, the saying where it's like, well, I'm wanting good things to come to me, so I'm going to try to be good, and being good is nice. But I'm also, but then the other half of it is, but I'm not perfect. And if you do bad things, it is often, we will call up the good things to our defense. Like even,
right.
Even in real trials where real dollar amounts are being discussed or real damages, there will be character witnesses that are allowed to come in, usually after guilt has been determined, to...
Right, to mitigate the damages.
To actually put a thumb on the scale of about, yeah, how much you should have to pay. It's like, well, they're normally a good person, so it would be wrong to be too heavy-handed with this good person who just made a mistake. And I think a lot of us, a lot of human beings really like that idea, because I think most of us will admit that we are not perfect and that we do bad things from time to time. And we want favorable treatment when we do, by something as simple as just doing good things, right?
Right.
However, I am your moral accountant, and I'm here to tell you that that shouldn't be how it is. Mm-hmm. And you're actually quite in the moral hole. But
the moral IRS is here.
Oh my God. That's actual nightmare fuel to me. Ooh. So I don't know. I think as a simple way to just kind of guide your life, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. Or there are worse things you could do. There are worse, simple ways you can treat your life. You know, you could be one of those people that just says...
I mean, you could just be unapologetically selfish, right?
Right.
I don't care about doing good. What's good for me is good.
Right. What's good for me is good. It doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks. You know, I'm just trying to... We out here
being
happy.
I'm just out here winning. Yeah.
Yeah. We out here winning tiger's blood. You know, like that kind of thing. I would much rather... You know, find myself in a society full of people that are trying to do better than they do worse, than people who are just trying to do best for themselves, mm-hmm. selfishly at any expense, right? Now, I think that anyone who has gone as far as to even bother themselves to think about morality, I would encourage people to think more deeply about it than that, because you arrive back at the whole core thing of like, well, what is even good to do and what is even bad to do? Which I guess you kind of have to suss out. But in this form of transactional morality, you don't actually have to think about it too hard. You know, murder's pretty bad. Buying flowers is good. You know, donating all of your money to charity is really good.
Mm-hmm.
At least in that moment. So you don't really have to think too much about it. And I would encourage maybe anyone who just kind of thinks about it that way to maybe give it a little bit more thought, because I think just like anything else, we're a little biased and we're going to naturally engross the things that we do that are good and try to minimize the thing that we do are bad.
Right.
You know, also
right. Everything bad that we do, it was just an honest mistake or if it's something like that.
Right. And also, how do moral infinites count? Right. Like, and this is my problem with utilitarianism in general is like, you need to start assigning value to lives.
Right.
And
that's just not an easy thing to do.
It's not, but it's very important. And
yeah, if your whole system of morality is going to involve things like that, yeah, then you have to assign it. If your whole system of morality is doing the moral accounting, well, we have to assign numbers to everything then.
Yeah. And then that opens up this whole can of worms, which I guess leads us into the moral accounting of like, well, how would you even go about doing that, right? So I think the first question when you get to that point is, can you infinity or not?
Right.
Is infinity on the table?
But then what's infinity, right? Like, it's easy to say that like murder is infinity, right? But then now let's get into the multiple levels of infinity, because, and I'm not just making like a math joke, okay, if we say murder is infinity, okay, murdering a person's infinity. Now, what about murdering a pregnant woman? Is that worse than just murdering a person?
I mean,
think many people would think so.
I think many people would say so, yeah. Or to simplify people's opinions about pregnancy, like two people.
Right. You could say that. But then what about... Well, I guess this could probably... I was going to make another thing, but I guess this could probably be said about just an ordinary murder, which is like, what about the anguish of the family of the... But that goes for ordinary murders too, so...
Yeah, well... Okay, but also, how a murder, right?
Like, right.
If you murder some, if you torture and murder someone versus just...
Right, this feels worse than just murdering somebody. Yeah,
lights out, accident, hit them with your car. Oh, and that's another thing too. Is it... Does it have to be murder?
Is it murder or just killing someone? Yeah.
Right. Because in accounting, it matters. Is it the act of what you did?
Yeah. Is wanting to do it part of the transaction? Yeah.
Right. And so I think that if any good moral accountant would have to take infinity off the table because it breaks the rules. Like, it unfairly...
It leads you to nonsensical conclusions.
Right. Like, for example, if you kill someone, it's like, great. And you count that as an infinitely bad thing that you did. Well... Does an infinitely good thing cancel it out? And is there such a thing as an infinitely good thing you can do? Most people, I think, would argue that there is no such thing as an infinitely good thing you can do.
Right.
Outside of maybe self-sacrifice, which is just murder, but for good reasons. Like, for example,
yeah, but
self-immolating.
But it doesn't have infinite utility, though, in the utilitarian sense. Like... Okay, yes, we can imagine ourselves sacrificing our lives to accomplish some other moral good. And we would say that, yeah, okay, well, they made it the ultimate sacrifice. That's what we always call it. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we by calling it the ultimate sacrifice, we say that this is the highest good that there is that someone can do, right?
Okay.
But what did you actually accomplish in utilitarian terms by doing that? Like, you didn't actually create more utility by doing that. In fact, we've still now a person is dead, you, which is decidedly a bad thing in our calculus, even though it's not really a moral thing necessarily.
And we're still talking though about like individual, right?
That's true.
So I think it's still a fair conversation to have because we're also not talking about utility, right? We're not like murder is not bad because now we have a person who has, we've reduced the utility by one person. Of the group.
Well, okay. When I say utility, I'm using it in the way that a utilitarian would do, where like utility is like the sum total of good and bad.
Ah. Well, in that case,
more good is more utility, more bad is less utility.
Right. Well, and I don't think I don't know that utilitarians even have a concept of infinite either, though.
I don't know either.
I don't think that they would. I don't think
I haven't met an unironic utilitarian, so.
Right. Because, well, yeah, an unironic utilitarian, I think, could not have that because all it takes is one infinite bad. Like, and then no amount of infinite goods could cover it because that's the whole thing about mathematical infinity anyway, is that going to negative infinity, like negative infinity plus positive infinity.
What even is that?
Like that defies out the term of what infinite really is trying to convey, which is it's everything. What even is negative everything, you know, mm-hmm. What's all the other everything. Okay. But like, you know, if you kill two people,
well, I guess what it means in this sense is that you could never account for it.
Right.
It's so bad. It's the mathematical way of saying it's unacceptable.
And I think you can achieve this. And I think that we do want things like that. I think that some people would want to establish a moral system where there is a point of no return, but I think you can still get there. I think you can still get there by just using normal boundaries where you can assign in how you assign your values. And you see this happen. You and I, you know, we see this happen in programs sometimes where it's like, well, this is negative 999,999, which the sum of all other possibilities will never even get close to countering that. So you'll still be negative at the end, mm-hmm. right? So you can get away with, I think, just assigning obscenely out of balance.
An arbitrarily large value, yeah.
Yeah, and then get close enough so that when you get into the edge cases, you can at least still do the math, right? You can try. So say we were to assign most mundane daily easy activities, like giving a small petty gift, like purchasing something for someone else that if it were to be stolen would have been a petty theft, right? Mm-hmm. That's just one moral good boy point because we have to give it some value. And for the sake of making our math easy, we're going to stick to whole numbers here.
Okay.
Or integers. But a murder is negative 9,999. you know, mm-hmm. so now maybe that's not big enough because, okay, so I just have to buy a nice thing for someone every day for about 3.5 years or about 3 years. No, no, sorry. 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made up for my murder. Does that feel about right?
Right.
I mean, does it?
I mean, no, but
are you sure? 33 years is a long time.
Yeah.
People spend less time in prison for that, for murder. 25.
Yeah. But that's time constantly spent in prison.
Fair.
Not a few minutes out of a day.
Fair. Well, what if I had to pay whatever amount of money I could have made in 25 years working a normal median income job? So say $55,000, $60,000 a year over 25 years. Because that's what you're taking away from me.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not adding in, like, well, freedom. Like, how much is that worth?
Yeah, but sure. And then, then of course we get into the other objections when it comes to how do we punish people for crimes, which is, well, we don't think it's a good idea that a rich person should just be able to buy their way out of punishment, right?
I don't know. I've thought about that a lot, actually.
Mm.
And I don't think
that's about to become the real topic.
I hope not. My biggest issue with that is who gets to spend the money and who gets to set the prices. Like, I think my biggest issue with should rich people be allowed to get away with things is kind of down to, well, who gets to decide how much the, like, let me give you an example. If I'm going to use maybe a less morbid example, just to get me there mm-hmm. for now, because it's awkward discussing death of loved ones for the moment.
Okay.
But say, you know, oh, screw it. We'll go there. Rich guy kills my dad, or rich mm-hmm. kid kills my dad, right?
Okay.
Now, I am very upset about this. I love my dad. This is a horrible thing that has happened, right? If it's up to me to determine how much money that would have been worth to me, then I'm okay having a system where I can set my number to make me and my mother whole again. Because don't get me wrong, in the moment, I'm going to be furious and no amount of money would be good enough. But my mother needs to be taken care of. You know, she has accounts, he had debts. Like, these things need to be taken care of. And me just killing the person who did it is not going to make my mother whole again.
No.
I will hate this person forever, no matter what. But that doesn't make her whole again either.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could make her whole again, which, by the way, if this happens today, I still get no money unless my dad had life insurance. The state will take that person and throw them in jail and maybe even kill them for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get nothing. And that's where I'm coming at with this, is that if you lose a loved one and they did not have life insurance, even if their murderer is found and put in jail for 25 or more years or executed, you still get nothing. And that doesn't help anybody. So I look at that.
Why not as both?
I'm not taking that off the table. But what I'm saying is that if I had to pick, I would rather try my best to at least make those who were going to feel that loss the most whole again as much as possible. They may grieve the rest of their lives, but at least they can grieve in a home, in their home, mm-hmm. as opposed to being destitute, which might be the alternative, right? And while I don't want rich people to just be able to do whatever they want, that kind of is how it happens anyway. It's dubious to think that you can hold someone wealthy enough accountable at all. And just like tax evasion, if you set the bar too high, they just won't play the game because they don't have to, like anyone else would.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same thing when dealing with the government or an entity that is on a similar level, different league, right? If the government accidentally kills my parents in a, you know, unfortunate military test accident, oops. Well, we're not going to end the government for you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's what I want, or even if that's what everyone thinks is right, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I don't like this idea of pretending like they should be held to the exact same standard, because they aren't anyway. I think we would be much better off like say the price that you would have to pay for murder is $10 billion.
Well,
like we put a number on it that's obscenely large. How much could you do with $10 billion? And
sure,
that's where the second part of this comes in. I would also not be okay if the state did that and then said the state gets $10 billion. So
right,
that's the two parts for me is who gets to determine how much it's worth and who gets the money when it's all said and done with.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two biggest issues with the idea of the system of, you know, well, we don't want rich people getting away with crimes. It's like, well, no, we don't. But what do you mean when you say get away with it, buy their way out of it? Okay, well, hear me out. They already do that. They buy really expensive lawyers. They exploit the legal system anyway. The assumption that we're having around this is that the system is perfect, but it isn't. And they have far more resources to leverage against this than I do. So I'm trying to argue for a system where at least maybe there's a way to compel them to play the game so that I get something out of it, even though, because nothing's going to bring them back. And this is me thinking about it in the cold state where my dad isn't dead and I'm not calling for retribution, right?
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Those options also aren't off the table. I could take it upon myself to kill that person or try.
Mm-hmm.
But even if I did, if they have armed guards because they could afford it, what can I do about it? You know, and the only reason that we think that it might be okay is because the government has more guards or soldiers or police. Mm-hmm. You know, they can take their guns and go do it. And so I can compel an army against somebody. And that's a feel good idea in a society where you can bring the state to bear against someone who does you wrong. But that's something I feel like most of us want in the retributive state, when in reality, we're going to live the rest of our lives and we need to find a way to come beyond this. And of course, you know, discouraging it. So, I don't know. I've thought about it quite a lot, and I'm not saying that this is the perfect answer, but what I'm saying is I think just hand-waving the answer away of like, well, we don't want rich people to just get away with it, do we? No, I agree. We don't want that. But the system we have now allows them to anyway, sometimes. How can that be better? And I don't think the answer is, oh, well, it's real simple. We will just go down harder on them. It's like, well, no, because you can't, you know? Why would we not have done that already? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a tangent. I hope that doesn't become the topic necessarily, but I think we can refer to it maybe, because that's kind of all I have to say about it, you know?
Fair enough.
But to assume your premise back to the original point, maybe we don't want people to be able to buy their way out of it, but I'm not saying buy it. Like in a moral accounting system, maybe you put a limit or a diminishing return, because I think you can start getting complex with this, right? Maybe you put a diminishing return on buying gifts for people and it's moral good, right?
Okay.
It gets a little bit more complicated, but it's like maybe you can only get so many moral good boy points by donating money. It's not linear. Maybe it has a diminishing return. So you can't. So then if you put the 9,999 negative good boy points, or I guess bad boy points in this case, for murder, well, you can't buy your way out of it because the amount of money you'd have to spend approaches infinity to get to that limited amount.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you know math better than I do. We could come up with a formula for the diminishing returns that would have a limit. Sure. That would
2 to the power 9999. You're right.
Yeah.
Which is an incomprehensible number. Yeah,
exactly. So I still think there's a way to do it. It just gets weird when you start talking about the math that way. But I think the setting arbitrarily large values and then also using that to fix your inverse earnings is the same. And then the other thing, too, is I can think the point of this is, well, we're talking about how do you pay back for bad things, but what about the inverse? How do I save up to do a bad thing? Because that's a thing that people are definitely going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives me big purge vibes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So what's the purge?
The purge?
For those who don't know.
Well, I haven't seen it. Because
I don't think you need to know what it's about.
Right. It pretty well says it on the tin, and by the tin I mean the trailer. back when, what year was that anyway? It doesn't matter. A movie from a little while back.
The 2010s, we'll say.
Yes. In which, like, the government decides that there's going to be I'm going to call it a holiday.
They call it that, I think, in the movie.
In which the law is just suspended. You can do whatever you want. For a day.
Right. The idea being that we let people
have their one day to do horrifyingly awful things and get it out of their system.
Right. And of course, what the authors imagine happening is written on the title.
Yeah, scores get settled.
People will die. Yeah.
Yeah, scores get settled and people... It's like a pressure release valve. And I think there's like an assumption that people, you know, save up all of their bad feelings about it. And if you don't let them... If you don't have a predictable way of letting that off, that's what leads to like random acts of violence and things like that. Mm-hmm. And a way to mitigate those is to just have a designated day of violence instead. Arguably defeating the purpose, but whatever.
Right.
And then they got political after that, where it's like, this is actually a means of control, blah, 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 whatever. Not the point. How does the concept, at least, of I'm going to save up some moral good boy points to do a bad thing, how does that strike you just off the cuff? Like, if you knew somebody who was, like, really nice and they're donating their time to charity or mm-hmm. they're working in soup kitchens or whatever and they're really pleasant and they try to bring joy to everyone's life and you ask them, like, man, you just seem like a really good guy. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know,
chopping my ex-wife into pieces, like, or something like that.
Or maybe not something on that extreme. It's like, yeah, well, I'm planning on going to Vegas this year for, you know, in the summer for a week and... Man, I'm going to get down to all kinds of bad business. And so I'm trying to save up. I'm hookers and blow, you know, all the way. Like,
well, I don't see anything wrong with that, but,
but still, like, maybe they're married and they have kids and they're going to run off and leave their family for a week.
That makes it worse. Yeah.
And abandon them and commit infidelitous acts and consume drugs and drive irresponsibly and maybe cause property damage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And gamble away a small fortune. Whatever.
Debauchery.
Yes. I don't know. I feel like I'd be like, well, that kind of devalues everything you're doing. Like, to me, mm-hmm. that's how I would see it. With a non-moral system like that.
The only reason that you're behaving good is because you think that this is going to pay for your bad behavior later. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you sure we don't want to talk about Immanuel Kant today? Because I feel like that's kind of his whole shtick. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. But from, like, maybe a utilitarian view, it's like, well, at least they're doing good. They're doing some good. They're not just going to Vegas to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the argument might be, is it better that they at least contributed some good instead of just doing the bad thing they wanted to do?
Obviously, yes. Yeah. I think there's no denying that we're better off that they did both and not just one. Yeah.
Right. But we would prefer
the people not to... Like, the reason we call them bad or immoral things is because we think that they just shouldn't be done.
Right. And I think maybe that's the crux of this whole thing, that I think maybe anyone who genuinely is chasing some kind of a transactional moral idea is trying to skirt around the idea of morality, which is that there are things we just do not want people to do. And there are things that we want people to just do as much as possible.
Right.
Be virtuous, you know?
It's kind of like what we both did in school.
Oh, yeah.
Calculating the minimum effort required to pass.
Yeah. All right. All I got to do is make this grade on this test, and I am done for the year.
Thank you, Mr. Teacher, for giving me the syllabus and telling me the weights of all the assignments coming up this semester. Mm-hmm. I know what matters and what doesn't now.
Yeah. All right. So each test is worth this many points. Each assignment's worth this many points. So you're saying that the quizzes, the homework makes up 20% of my grade?
Cool. I can settle for a B. I'm just going to not do that. Yeah.
I can settle for a B or a high C. That'll be fine.
Yep.
And the teacher's like, why are you not doing your homework?
Because I don't have to. It says so right here on this paper.
Ooh. Man, I wonder if we have any teachers listening that get real Buddy McButthurt about that.
Booty bothered.
I'd do it again.
I would absolutely do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we want people treating morality like their school assignments.
Mm-hmm.
Judging by how I see a lot of people deal with their school assignments.
Right.
Oh, that does bring up an interesting analogy. I'm going to go down this rabbit hole because we've got plenty of time. There are some people that are just not very good students.
Okay. That's true.
They work really, really hard to study and then still get
and
like...
They still do bad. Yeah.
Do bad. Like they... I actually have a sibling that's like that. That I also had a class with when we were in college.
We took the same biology class. I was taking it because I needed an easy A, and because I looked at the syllabus beforehand, I was like, oh, this is going to be a breeze. I got to take four tests, and I'm out of here. And this is intro to biology. I'm not an idiot. Cool. No offense to anyone who thinks that biology is hard, but it
isn't.
It's just memorizing. It
depends
things
on how deep you're trying to go, but biology 101 is not.
No, it's intro to biology. Can you read? Congratulations. You know, can you read and hold things in your memory for longer than 3 hours? Because if you can, you'll be all right. She cannot do that. Turns out she gets really bad test anxiety and things and just cannot be bothered to do well on tests. And since the grade scale for that was 80% of the grade was the tests, I strolled in. And not only that, David, but there was a policy with him that with the instructor that you on the last day of finals could just take all of your tests. You can retake any tests for a higher grade on that day. Can you guess what my attendance was like in that class?
You showed up on the final day.
I showed up on the final day, took four tests, and walked out of that class with a B. You're darn right I did. Meanwhile, she showed up every day to class, was super attentive, and then walked out with a C, mm-hmm. minus, working her butt off. So let's translate that to morality. Is being moral easier for some people than it is for others?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Man, I want to ask you why.
Okay.
Why? Why do you think that is?
Well, okay. We can move on to the question of actually why, but my quick answer is, well, I see it all the time. People act better than others.
Yeah.
And I would say that it probably comes easier to them, right? They're probably not working any harder than anybody else to be that way. It just comes natural to them to behave that way. And it comes natural to people who behave badly to behave badly. There are other circumstances involved sometimes, depending on what bad behavior we're talking about, right? People who, you know, generally if somebody is very wealthy, well, they're probably not going to, you know, commit petty theft and things like that.
Yeah, a necessity, I guess. But that's not what I'm talking about, because I have known people that just seem to be predisposed to scumbaggery. I don't know why. It's like every time they come to my house, it's like they leave with something that's not theirs. It's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you so compelled?
I know somebody who's like this, who has various things in their house that came from restaurants and things like that they shouldn't have walked out with. And it's like, why do you have this?
Yeah. Now, I think that in and of itself is an entire episode that we could have done about why are some people just naturally more good than others, and is it fair? Because, spoiler alert, it's not. But neither is life. I think this problem gets absolutely maybe exacerbated, though, in a moral transactory system. So maybe now we transition into talking about what if you lived in a morally transactual society? What does that look like? Or a society dominated by a belief or culture that has moral transacting as a tenet. Sorry. So I would be terrified, firstly, because you never know when someone's going. First of all, you never know when someone's going to bank good boy points on other people, and then you're going to be the kicking boy.
Right, you're going to be on the wrong end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe you can get around that by saying, well, the moral good boy points you get are only on an account by account basis. Like, you have to have someone to transact with, and it's all store credit. You can't take it and spend it elsewhere.
But that's not how people act.
No.
When we talk about this kind of thing.
Well, that's also not what we want. Like, we want people, we often, there's a lot of moral systems that say taking care of the less fortunate is a good thing. Like, we generally think, like, me donating $10 to Jeff Bezos is worse than me giving $10 to a homeless person.
Right.
They're both, actually, I think some people would even go so far as to say that I did a bad thing by just giving $10 to Jeff Bezos. I don't know that that's true. I don't know if I feel that way about it. I think
it's silly, but
it not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it bad. I would question why you did that, but not for moral reasons.
Right.
But just like, what are you hoping to accomplish by doing this?
Right. But in a system where moral karma is a thing, but it's on an account by account basis. Well, why would you ever help the less fortunate? They have nothing to give you back, right? Like, who cares if, like, the extent to how good they can be to me, the utility, if you will, of them being good to me is not the same as someone who has means, right? If you're, and I think this, I kind of feel disgusted talking about this even this way, because I'm thinking about a whole lot of horrible things, but like, but then again, that's, I think, kind of the society you would end up with this, where you would end up with like a moral wealth gap where everybody who's good is just swapping good favors back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, or you, maybe you end up in like a caste system where, like, you know, you find your rung of the ladder and you do good for them because they have roughly equivalent means, and you're constantly trying to climb the ladder by doing good for people who are a little higher up the ladder than you. Mm-hmm. And I think that just kind of flies in the face of a lot of what we would hope, because we kind of, I think, want morality to transcend those things and
right.
just to be guiding principles in life. But yeah, it would be, would really suck, I think, to be in that kind of society if you, even if you couldn't. But you think that the greater fear is that there's not a whole lot of utility to that anyway. So yeah, I would be terrified of the community saving up their good boy points to just run me out of town and take all my things.
Sure.
You know, which is another thing, moral divisibility of accountability. If two people work in concert to commit a murder, do they both get the same credit score, or do they divide it in half?
Mm-hmm. I think they both get the same.
Well, I would like to agree with you, and I think that's how it should be. But I also can't help but wonder how this squares with other things where we have that are similar to this. So, for example, companies don't do that. They don't divide the... They don't apply the same standard to all of the shareholders of a company, necessarily, for an act.
Sure.
I don't know if that matters, or if I'm imagining it that way. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it wouldn't work, because otherwise you could just get convincingly large enough numbers of people to do just about anything you want.
Well, isn't that how it really works, though?
It kind of is, though, yeah.
It's if I get me and the whole town together mm-hmm. to kick you out of town, well...
What are you going to do about it?
Right. What's anyone going to do about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like how we say, like, oh... Person walks into store and steals something. Ah, yes, a theft occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Group of people go into store, like a small group of people steal. Ah, yes, this was an organized robbery. This was a gang.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, but as soon as you cross this threshold, magically, it's no longer a gang. It's a mob, and it was a riot.
Right.
And good luck going after every individual that was in that mob.
Right.
And I think there's
just like even identifying who was in it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Man, that's a whole thing, isn't it? Like, because I think ideally, like if I'm the manager of Walmart, right, and a riot happens in my town and a bunch of people bust down the doors and just take and loot the store.
Mm-hmm.
If I have CCTV footage, I would ideally want the police to go through and identify as many people as possible.
Right, we're going to pull out the facial recognition tech and get everyone we can. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Steal it now if you want, but I'm going to get my money back.
Right. But all the camera footage is being shipped off to another state to be analyzed. Yeah.
Mm. But I don't know that it actually happens that way. You never hear it covered that way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever there's like a riot or a mob or peaceful protest, you know, ringleaders that get identified arbitrarily might be brought up on charges, or people mm-hmm. people who stand out from the crowd, right? But like the bystander in the mob is usually pretty safe.
I feel like my guess as to why that happens is a very boring one, which is that they probably just make an insurance claim and call it done.
Sure, but it also doesn't cost Walmart anything to do that. But then again, are they coming out with more insurance money than if everyone would have just bought everything, and they're just not incentivized to poke the police right, to I do it.
Know. Yeah.
And if the police are like, that just seems like a lot of work. I'm good. I don't know. So yeah, I think it does make more sense to not let it be divisible, even though that may be kind of be how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do, right? Like, okay, witch trials, for example.
Okay.
Town gets together, rounds up a handful of undesirables and executes them. Later on, it's discovered that they were all innocent. Okay. How do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, depending on how the moral calculator works, well, you could lay it all at the feet of the executioner because someone had to carry it out. And so they're going to hold the responsibility and they have all the moral bad points. But if we think that...
They're just doing what they do for any other crime, right, that warrants execution.
Well, that's a good point.
If they're an assigned executioner, right, that's their job. It's like, well, it wasn't my job to decide whether they're guilty. I'm just here to kill them.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's true. We don't. Ooh, maybe that should be a thing.
The jury.
Do you? Is it the jury? The 12 people?
I mean, they're the one who decided.
That's true. Interesting.
Or maybe the judge who decided the sentence.
That's a good question. At what point? I actually want to know
who's responsible for a false conviction and punishment.
Yeah, I think that's a good. That's just a generally a good question, because right now there's no such thing as a false conviction. Technically.
What do you mean?
Juries cannot be held accountable for the outcome, right?
Like, no,
they're protected from a wrong answer because we don't want them thinking about what if they
get
it
wrong.
Yeah,
there are false convictions, but we don't hold it against the jury. We just overturn the sentence.
Yeah.
If something later comes about that exonerates somebody of the wrongdoing they were found guilty of.
No harm, no foul, though. No one gets punished for that.
Well, except for the person who did get punished wrongly. And maybe the government pays them some restitution or something for that. But that's about the end of it. But that just means that you and me pay for it. Like, right. That we, oopsie.
Ooh.
Society did an oopsie. And yeah.
So I guess in that way, though, we do divide it evenly.
Yeah.
Not evenly, but evenly enough.
Evenly-ish, yeah.
Weird. And I'm satisfied with that. I'm not. I mean, are there any things in particular other than the things I talked about that you would be a terrified, like, how would you feel if you found yourself transported into a society that had moral transactionism going on as a practice? I guess it depends on how long you're stuck there.
Yeah, well, and,
or if you can get out or
well,
not.
Well, how long am I stuck there? I think the important question to me, who's doing the accounting? Like, and what happens if I have a negative score?
Someone can collect, I guess.
Can they?
That's a good point.
Like, that's the, like, we're talking about this as like a cultural belief, right? Where most of the people in the society believe that we can behave this way, that good deeds offset bad deeds, and we're just okay with this. But I don't feel that way. So if I am put in a place like that, it's like, okay, well, now I'm just going to behave more or less how, well, I guess it depends. It depends on how people are treating me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I would behave more or less the same way. But if somebody crossed me, right, then maybe I wouldn't care so much about doing my own, like, I wouldn't care so much about taking revenge on somebody who crossed me, because it's like, okay, well, if no one's ever doing the accounting and we're just okay with this, then sure, I'll just accumulate bad points for hurting this person, and feeling better, getting my own retribution. But if no one ever comes to collect, then I don't care.
That's a good point. I feel like you have to have some sort of centralized agency to keep track of that.
Right. Someone has to make sure that you're not just a psychopath.
And at that point, you're just, even if you didn't, it would be mob rule at that point, where it's, because I imagine it would be like, if you stranger in a strange land into society that I'm a part of, and when we practice this, and you walk into my store, I'm like, I don't know you. I'm just going to charge you the normal but all I can really do to you, if I'm at the lightest, is just be like, I'm just going to make you pay full price for things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, that's kind of weird. So wait, why do they get a discount? It's like, well, they're a good person. They get a discount. The incentive is if you have moral good book points, I can take some of those moral good book points for myself by giving you a discount. So in me giving you the discount, I get good boy points in exchange, and you lose good boy points. They just kind of fall off because it's like, I've given you a discount enough times, so you need to keep doing nice things for other people.
Cash them in, yeah.
And your general reputation is what we go off of, right? Now, first of all, this requires a very tight-knit community to keep the account balance shared. But let's just say that's how it is for now. Like, it's just your general reputation. And so for you, it's like, I don't know you, so I'm just going to charge you the normal price. So you do this, and I hear about it from someone else that you beat this guy up. So you come back to my restaurant because you don't have means to feed yourself necessarily yet. You're having to eat out all the time. And I go, oh yeah, you're that guy who punched up Jimmy so-and-so. Yeah, that's going to be, you're going to need to pay me a 20% surplus, 20% more now because you've been a bad person. But once you do, it'll take some of the bad points off. Like I'll spread the name. Like, yeah, well, you paid me extra. Even though I'm forcing it on you, mm-hmm. I treat it like a charitable donation to reduce your thing. Or that's one way of handling it. Or the other way would just be, you're going to get charged 20% extra until I hear about some other good things that you did. Mm-hmm. So you're not only going to be punished by having to pay more at my stop, at my restaurant, but you better go out there and do some nice things to reduce your cost. And so that's where you would be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. The other way would be, there is a centralized bureau that's like, guy wrongs you and you go to the authorities and you're like, hey, this guy wronged me. And they go, oh, he did? Who was it? Jimmy so-and-so. Well, Jimmy so-and-so has been a pretty good boy lately, so we'll let him slide on this one. But like in their head, it ticks down the number, or they type it into a thing that he did this crime, but mm-hmm. he had enough good boy points to cover it. And then you're just left holding the bag of having been beaten up. But because you were at zero, you're not good or bad yet, because you haven't acted enough in society for them to know you.
Mm-hmm.
You're just stuck with that. You just have to deal with it. And then if you beat him up, well, cops come to you and they arrest you maybe mm-hmm. because now you have no good boy points to cover for your deeds. So better get out there and do some good boy points earning. You know, as I described that to you, that kind of be how it is though sometimes.
A little bit, in
some pretty small communities, it kind of do be like that. You'll get favorable deals for being a good person. But if you're not a good person and people just, you have like a bad reputation, people will kind of kick you out. But I think the problem with this that is starting to arise with me is the situation that I put you in, right? Oh, you don't have very much. Someone takes what little you have, but they're a generally good person, have a good reputation. So you don't really have recourse against them. But then if you do exercise some recourse and beat them up, now you have a bad reputation. So mm-hmm. even though you have restored maybe some or all of the means that you lost, when you go back to deal with other people, you're going to face a steeper price. So you're still right, worse
you
off.
You just lost, yeah.
So the only way to, I guess, well, arguably the only way that you can get around that is to beat him up and take what he has. So even though you're still lost,
at least now you have some material possessions to make up for it.
Yeah, and you can donate them to someone else maybe to bring your rates back down.
Right,
with everyone.
Is that offset that, yeah, what does it even mean?
Well, in a morally calculated society like that, it would have to have some meaning.
It has That's some meaning, thing. But does it have enough? Right.
I think it might. Like, that would be the only way, I think, that you would have to deal with it, because you'd have to start weighing out, like, what is the actual, and maybe this is the thing that people who also think about this transaction think, what is it worth being good mm-hmm. besides just being good, right? What is its reward, you know? But what's it worth? Can I do bad things to enable me to do more good things later?
Do bad things to enable me to do more good things later?
For example, guy took my things or whatever. I'm going to beat
okay,
him up.
I'm going to beat him up and then
take my
I'm going to be Robin Hood. I'm going to rob the rich and give it to the poor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to take back what was taken from me, but I'm also going to take what he had and allocate it to myself so that I can give it to the poor. I've done a bad thing. Even if maybe initially I was just trying to right a wrong, I have done an additional bad thing, but then made up for it by getting a good reputation. Which means that it covers the thing that I did that was bad, but I maybe also now get a discount with the means that I did have. So you end up with a society of people trying to Robin Hood each other to move up the ladder. And who is the most, and unless there's like a release valve on this where it's like, well, you have to be below the average to be more of a Robin Hood figure. Otherwise you're just a bully.
Mm-hmm.
You keep this weird sort of peace where everything kind of comes out in the wash, but man, it just soaks up a lot of time of people just being crappy to each other, but being good to others, you know?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, I hate that. Sounds horrible. Ugh.
Yeah, imagine the weird like fear of doing too well, because then you might become the target of a Robin Hood.
I think there are people that feel that way. I think there are people born into a fortunate circumstance that have a certain amount of guilt about that.
I think that's true.
Like, if you're born to wealthy parents, like, I'm not going to go out and disparage an entire group of people about this, but I do think there's a definite trend amongst people like this. A lot of people I hear about that are really caught up in like social justice and things like that, the most vocal members of that group, oftentimes that I've personally witnessed, I won't go so far to say everyone out there, but that I've personally witnessed, the most vocal come from means.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do get a vibe that they're trying to compensate because they are the problem, or they are born of the problem, and they're trying to atone for that without
it's their original sin. Yes.
Yeah, without giving up their original sin, right? Because none of them I know ever voluntarily become destitute.
They're not going to donate their wealth, yeah.
Or they might donate some of it.
Right.
But they're never going to live uncomfortably, like the people that they're trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never stoop to their level.
Right.
But they don't want to be seen as the part of the problem, you know?
Right. Yeah, they're licensing their own lifestyle, which they perceive as undeserved. Well, maybe it is undeserved in the sense of what does it mean to deserve things, which is a totally different topic.
Yeah.
They're paying to license their lifestyle to their own conscience, right?
Mm-hmm. But I think that gets back to the heart of the issue that I wanted to talk about with that is, what is the benefit of being good? And I think if you have to have a reason to be good other than just being good,
then you're a psychopath.
You're a psychopath. And these people, I feel like, exhibit that kind of behavior where it's like, well, I could just be a good person and help people out, but I want to be seen as gooder.
Right. I want to be visibly good. Yeah.
Yeah. And in a morally transaction society, what's the point in donating to anyone if you don't?
Well, and this is why it is said that, you know, the truest gift is given anonymously, right?
Mm-hmm.
The most righteous way, maybe righteous isn't the right word, but the most virtuous way to make a donation is to make it anonymously, because then that proves that you're not seeking your own, you know, recognition and things. You're not making a moral transaction. You are just giving out of the goodness of your own heart.
Yeah. And I feel like it's probably a good thing that we frown strongly on treating morality transactionally, because it defeats a lot of the purpose of morality, which is that it's not supposed to be transactional. You're supposed to be good for yourself.
Right.
I'm even kind of okay with saying it's all right to be selfishly good, so long as
sense that, like, you're being good because it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason we're like that, right?
Right. Yeah. Why do we do anything? Because it either feels good, or we're avoiding something that feels bad. Like, at the end of the day,
that's why we do things. Yeah.
That's why we do things. Yeah. Why do you eat? Not because either because food tastes good when you don't need to eat, or because you'll be hungry otherwise.
Right. Because I don't want to feel hungry anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of not wanting to feel hungry anymore,
it's about time we wrap this episode up, I think. Yeah. Man, I really do think, as the last bit here, we need to probably do some looking into Immanuel Kant, because he talks a lot about that in his philosophy. I don't know a ton about him necessarily. I've heard his name come up a lot. He gets referenced by a lot of other philosophers because he kind of had some wild takes about stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, like, if you feel good about doing anything morally good, it's not a virtue anymore, which is, he attacks that core premise, mm-hmm. I think. Again, cursory, not having looked into it yet. So maybe maybe we get back to some true philosophy on that and talk about it, because I think it'd be interesting. But I don't know. Cool. Well, it's a little short of an hour, but I think that's fine. My stomach's just told me that it's probably okay that we're going to be short. So until next time, philosophers.
Philosophers. If you like the music in this episode, please check out Jippy on Bandcamp at jippy.bandcamp.com.
Philosophers is supported by viewers like you.
If there's a topic you'd like us to discuss,
or a topic you'd like to see revisited in the future,
please let us know by contacting us using the methods in the description,
or in the comments below. Thank you for listening.